All right, okay, let me just get into what I want to teach today immediately, all right? But before I do that, can we just say that our incantation again? Let me just start by explaining this again. Anything you see outside, it's a reflection of that which is spiritual, all right? And then there's always a genuine one, and that's why you can see a counterfeit. Even if something looks counterfeit, there's a genuine that they are copying. That's why all your days, how many of you have ever seen counterfeit money before you handled it? It's common enough. I'm sure we have seen it. Now, I want to ask you a simple question. The last one you saw, was it a counterfeit 250 naira? Ever seen a counterfeit 250 naira? No, answer me now.
No.
What about, 250 is too small. You saw a counterfeit 700 naira?
No.
Or a counterfeit $250? Do you know the simple reason? There's no original. That's the idea. Why did I say that? Don't ever forget this. All over the town, you find cults. All right, people belong to cults. I say a man joined Ogboni, he joined this, he joined that. Let me just say, these are the counterfeit of the real thing. The real thing is Christianity. Did you hear what I said? The real thing is what?
Like I like to say it.
If you are a true Christian, you are in a real cult. That's the real one. Do you understand my point? All these other ones are attempts at tapping into spiritual power. The real one is Christianity. Don't ever forget it. And we're not discussing that now. We've discussed it before. The fact is that we are the ones that are doing real cults. Okay? What do I mean by cults now? You get into an association. You have an agreement with people. You have sacrifices. You have incantations. You understand that? You have incantations with which you tap into spiritual power. Let's not go over it again. But indeed, we drink blood. Amen?
Amen.
We drink blood. Amen?
Amen.
We drink real blood. Amen?
Amen.
The amount of life you tap from the blood you are drinking is determined by the quality of the blood. You understand what I'm saying? So I want, when you say that witches went to suck blood, you are going to. That's why the witch too will die. You get my point? You suck the blood of an unbeliever. What are you going to get? It's more corruption in your system. But Jesus said something clearly. If you want life in you, you eat my flesh and do what? You drink my blood. All right, we drink blood. If you're a blood drinker, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I like that. I'm the company of the real ones. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, you drink real blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. But the one I'm really going to is the fact that we have two things that people often forget. We have incantations and we have power. The way by which you tap into your power is by the appropriate use of your own incantations. Since we were children, I don't know if you grew up in the East. Those of us grew up in the West, you understand? When we're young, Indian films, what do you watch? It's Lover Boy, Lover Girl. That is Indian film. All right. Chinese film, you kill my master, I kill you. You know that kind of thing. Yes, you injured me 20 years ago. I've gone to the jungle. I have learned Tuaichi, and snake goes into monkey shadow. Monkey come out of snake shadow. Yeah, you get my point? That's Chinese film. Everybody's always fighting. But when you get to Yoruba film of those days, the days of Ogunde, I don't know if you remember Herbert Ogunde. Who get time for hooky who father, who's avenging who's mother? No, but nothing. What the guys will do is, I'll show you how the courts operate. So when the two powerful men want to fight, in Chinese simply, they do here. No, this one, they will bring out things. You understand? They will do sacrifices and then begin incantations. Very, very luxurious. Bobo lagutonwo. I remember a few lines. And this guy could go on for 1 hour non-stop. And those things they were saying, listen, if you didn't know it, you think it's fake. Just like Chinese film. Those things they are doing feel like film, but it started from somewhere. Those are their own too. That's how it was. And those words are not just taken out of nothing. They are real words with which they decode real things and then contact real spiritual power. That's a matter of fact. So when we're young, those days, we grew up with it. When you sit down and say, ah, Father, your Yoruba is coming. You know, everybody sit down and Oshabumi. What are they doing? Their fight is always incantations. Now, you know, having grown up as a Christian, I have realized something. That thing is actually the foundation, all right? In fact, that is how spiritual things work. The difference between that and Christianity is the kind of words that we use. But it's the same principle. It's the same principle. I've been listening to messages over the last few weeks, all right? And almost every minister I've listened to recently, they seem to be laying that emphasis again. Now, I'm using my own words. They say different ways, all right? But the word I'm using again is that word incantation. Christians have to use their own incantations. They don't use it enough. They use worldly, and this life is all about incantations. What do we call incantations? It's words. Words that you repeat. The words that are not your own, but have been given to you, let me use the expression now, by the gods. Are you getting my point? In your case, has been given to you by God Almighty. When those men will come to fight, in fact, I told you before that in the Ifa listing, let me use the word religion, therefore they call Odu Ifa. That is the deep words, all right, that those guys used to, I mean, they had appropriate prescriptions for everything. They are words that apply to certain situations. I didn't understand those things until I began to study the scripture. I said, this is just the word. Can you get my point? That's how God set it up in the realm of the spirit. But Christians, you see, they haven't watched bad films all their lives. They are more afraid of the devil and the power of the occult than they are of the power of God. They have little respect for, and it's not their fault, really. They went to church and sang hymns, and then they danced to go and give offering. I have this personal animosity these days against this offering thing. Not because I said, we shouldn't give money. But yesterday, we were watching my house, we were watching TV, Rocker and I. And I saw a big church in Enugu, they were doing program. Everybody was dancing to the front to go and drop offering. I said, I'm angry. Rocker said, why? I said, look, they are making God look like a beggar. As if he's waiting there to collect the thing. They drop. I said, don't they know the road to the bank? You want to give money, go to the bank. This is 2014. That's the problem. People don't know incantation. They are so used to listen to some words, like my chief would say, those days, pay money and then go away. They don't take time out to incantate. I hope you like my English there. Yes. So they were brought up without, and that's the problem. I think that's part of the problem. If a pastor listens to it, you have to give special sessions during service for people to just declare the word of God. You charge the atmosphere. That is how you fight. That's how you win. When Father Yoruba is coming on that side, you, the Baba Oloro, you come from this side. He uses words that have little meaning. You understand? You use the words that Jesus died to ensure that they will never fail. Please, it's so important to understand this. So I've been telling people, when you wake up in the morning, God has helped me these days. I wake up at night. Before I go back to sleep, I declare a few words. If I get out these days, I throw some words, you understand, ahead of me. I do. You should do that. You don't have to fall sick before you start confessing healing. You never heard of immunization? Preventive medicine. Have you heard of preventive medicine? Yes. You eat well. What do Christians do? These days we run to Okwara Square and be jogging. Preventive medicine. You have to jog the word of God. Now I keep on saying that thing. Before you go and jog physically, jog the scriptures. You should jog the scriptures. It's part of your preventive medicine. I'm going to begin to teach today on how to bless your offspring. Bless the future generations. Bless your descendants. You just say, I don't have children yet. That is when to learn it. Are you getting my point? I'm not married yet. That's the perfect time. That is the perfect time. Even though you don't have children, just wake up in the morning and just release a few things. One day they will come and collect it. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, that's right. They will come and collect it. In fact, sometimes you release so much, from wherever they are, they will rush down to quickly come and collect it. If you are married, you quickly sharp, conceive. The children, hurry, let me collect something. Now somebody's releasing on the earth. Are you getting my point? And for those who are not married, the wife will just appear suddenly. Why? It is the children above that are pushing the two of you, come on, arrange, you want to come and collect. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Listen, don't ever forget it, oh, please. And it's not, please, let me say this again. Don't confess your desire. You'll wake up in the morning. In Jesus' name, I have a car. In Jesus' name, I have two pairs of shoes. Stop that. I'm not saying car is bad or shoes are bad. But that's not what I'm talking about. Your car is not the word of God. Are you getting my point? No, your car is not the word of God. It's not the word of God. If you must confess that one, just display it. Look, I have everything that I need. You know, that's better. It makes all, you know, my favorite scripture, this. It makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. All things, includes that car, includes everything. I have all sufficiency in all things. Don't focus your mind on physical things. You wake up in the morning, why are you waking up? Your wife says, ah, you are awake, yes. What's happening? I'm declaring concerning my car. You wake up at night to declare concerning your car. Did you hear what I said? Tell your neighbor, that's a bad thing. She don't wake up at night to declare concerning a motor car. No, it's not good. It's not good. You wake up at night, just take a scripture and just read it out. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I am following him. He owns me. He's a God that I serve. He's a God whose I am. You understand what I say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is no good thing that we withhold from me. That's better. Just declaring that word. Not, oh, the car is red. Amen, amen. I'm seeing it. It's red. I've told you before, that's when children, you know, it's a child's attitude. You know, there are times, things like that come to my mind, temptation. I reject the temptation. No. Why do you like red car now? It's not because your neighbor bought a red one. There was a day I went to make a brown suit. You know why I made a brown suit? I went to visit my friend in church on Sunday. He came down from his car. He was wearing a brown suit. He was looking so fine. I ran to go and sew one. It's not spiritual. So don't stop waking up at night to confess color. People say it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I just don't have the time. I don't know what I get my point. That time can be used for things that are more potent. There's a very simple scripture that covers all those things. No good thing will leave his hold from those that walk uprightly. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack anything. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I abound to every good work. There's a kind of color that you have never seen that God will bring, and you will love more than that red. Have you ever heard, you know, there are colors I never heard of until I started getting married, and people, just as I started getting married. Until I got married, and people around me began to get married, that's what I mean. Started hearing colors like fuchsia, turquoise. I remember the first day I heard lilac, you won't believe it. I never heard lilac, lilac is common now. First day I heard lilac. They were discussing, the bridal, the women were discussing, what are we going to wear for Isioma's wedding? And they were talking lilac. I'm like, what is that? They say it's color. What kind of color is that? They discussed, why did you just call it light purple? What is all this lilac? And one day I heard fuchsia. Oh, there's someone I heard sometime a few years ago, puce. Okay, so I'm happy. I know a color that one woman doesn't know. That is good. Yes, puce. Oh, you've not heard that one before? Oh, puce, in that color. I'm telling you. What am I going to say? Look, let's not waste time on those things. All right? When we are declaring, our incantation is plain. All right? They are plain and simple. The word of God. They are prophetic words. You are getting my point? That's what they are. Prophetic words. This is what God said. This is what we are declaring. Because he has said, therefore I can boldly say. Are you getting my point? That's it. Everything you say must be because he has said. If I like the way he said it, then let's quickly read that one. All right? Hebrews. No, I like the way, because there's something I want to read from it. The book of Hebrews chapter 13, he says from verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Now, notice that. He said, God says something, and for that reason, we can confidently say something else. And that thing that he's saying is also a quotation. Are you getting my point? God said, I will never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. All right? And then he said, for that reason, we can confidently say. Now, he was quoting a scripture and quoting another one to support. Are you getting my point? That other, so, this is not now, it's not time to be making personal sense. You know, sometimes I've said to you, Christians try to be too accurate and too detailed. And a lot of times, it doesn't work. Just take the word of God and declare it. What will your future be like? Say, in 15 years' time, I will be a governor. After that, I will be an ex-governor. Then I will be a senator. That's what I mean by unnecessary detail. In 15 years' time, by that time, we would have made $2 billion in sales in a company we are starting today, which today currently has zero, sales. Let me just say something. It's not necessary. You don't have to learn a long method of designing confessions so that you can confess regularly. It's not necessary. I've heard it said that, that's how Christians are supposed to do it. No, I don't accept. There is no example like that in the scriptures. Like I said to you, they are spiritual principles. So when I say spiritual principles now, I mean that like you have the laws of physics in the realm of the physical. In the realm of the spiritual, you also have the laws of spirits. Do you understand my point? There's physics, then there is spirits. So you can. These laws are real. They are real. People will learn them. But I said there is the law of the third heavens. There is the law of the third heavens, which is the law of Christ. And in Christ, you understand my point? We don't just try and use our intellect to carve confessions based upon our desires. No, we declare that which Christ simply stated as the will of God concerning us. If we don't know the exact specific will, like how long will it take me to get from here to Onitsha? God didn't say anything specific that you are aware of concerning it. Well, one thing you know is that he declares safety upon that journey. Do you understand my point? He declared prosperity upon that journey. So when I'm about to set out, I speak to the road. In all that I do, I prosper. I'm not going to say, I confess that in the next 1 hour, I'll be non-nature. It's unnecessary. What did I say? And like I said before, listen, don't put yourself in a situation where you will now be a doubter, tossed to and fro. On the road, now when you want to stop to buy corn, you say, no, I had confessed that in 1 hour, I'll be non-nature. Meanwhile, that corn is necessary for your progress. Yes, that's what I'm making. So what do I do on that journey? Well, this is my desire to get to Onitsha in 1 hour's time. I commit that to the hand of the Lord. Then I begin to declare upon the road. I declare upon the road. Safety is my portion. The angels of God, they surround me and they deliver me. No evil will befall me. You get my point? I will not dash my foot against a stone. I will not dash my front tire against a curb egg. And that's the foot of your car against the stone. You are declaring the word of God, all right? In all that I do, I prosper. Today, I prosper. In my going out and my coming in, the Lord is with me. Since I live in Enugu and I'm heading for Onitsha, that is my going out. And I'm going to return, and that is also what? My coming in. Therefore, the Lord will protect me and deliver me from all evil. That's all. That is how Christians write their confessions. We simply write what God has said. So concerning my future, you wake up in the morning and be declaring, in 6 years' time, I'm a governor. In 10 years' time, I'm an ex-governor. By that time, a serving senator. And in 18 years' time, I'm a president. It can happen like that. Are you getting my point? but you don't know, you don't need those specific declarations unless, listen, unless God, you know, it works different ways, all right? And for certain reasons, he gave you information. And that information is not even what you wake up and declare every day. It's what you inform people of if they ask questions. Are you getting my point? But when you wake up every morning, what do you declare? You declare what God has said concerning your destiny. Remember, you make confessions based upon the word of God. So you say simply like this, that, you know, I was created on purpose. The days of my life, all right, he knew them before I was made. Therefore, he's guiding me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I will walk into my destiny. Are you getting my point? You may not know the destiny, but you will walk into it. You may not know that destiny, but you will walk into it. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. You declare that all the time. These are the things you are declaring concerning your destiny. With long life, he will satisfy me. You are declaring these things. Why? Those are the things that are recorded in the word of God. Those are the incantations of Christianity. Back to where I started from. Don't forget to declare them every day. If you wake up at night, you just stagger to the bathroom to go and ease yourself. As you stagger back to bed, declare it again. In peace, I'm lying down, sleeping. The Lord is always making me dwell in safety. Listen, those two sentences, they are more powerful than having a garrison of soldiers physically around your house. That's a matter of fact. And that's why, you know, when, you know, Jack put this last time, I was listening to one man of God preach. He said Jesus didn't command the bread to multiply when he fed 5,000. All he did was to take the one he had, and then he just gave thanks for that. I said, who wants bread? Isa, take. Who wants fish? Isa, take. Who wants bread? Isa, take. Who wants fish? And the thing kept on increasing. I learned something long ago. We were taught, and I believed it, all right, and I still believe it, that Jesus, you didn't see him any time asking God for food, praying for such things. So is it that he never talked about them at all? We believe he did, but that he lived his life in Psalm 23. I believe he wake up in the morning as he's giving thanks for bread. That's how he used to give thanks for the day. Lord, I thank you because I have woken up today. Today again, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen, for us, is it those things that that became fossilized in religion? Let us read Psalm 23. People just read it without paying attention to it. The reading of it is good, but for you and I that have understanding, the reading of it is not just religion, it's life. Are you getting my point? So now if you read Psalm 23, it is what? Life. Occasionally, listen, let me tell you something. As you're studying the word of God, once in a while, the scripture will hit you. That one that hits you, hold it. That's your own personal medicine. Did you hear what I said? What did I call it? So, you know, this is the day of technology. All these phones, they have screensaver or lock screen. I use an Android phone. They have lock screen that you can put a message on it. So I put in my own. There are two. One we're teaching on them, the cross of Christ. I wrote it there. Banky, that's my name, name of the owner of the phone. Locked on Christ's cross. Now, what does that mean? Remember, we're talking about gazing attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. So, because it didn't allow too many characters, I just wrote it locked on the cross of Christ. In fact, Ron Rocker saw it, he laughed. He said, to unlock this phone, you have to get to the cross of Christ. Of course, because that's my lock screen message, you understand? So the guy said, to unlock this phone, to the cross of Christ. But what I meant when I wrote it is that, listen, the owner of this phone, his gaze is focused on the cross of Christ. And I saw another opportunity to write something. And what did I write in that one? Christ in me, the hope of glory. So they didn't allow that one to display fully. So if you pick my phone and you just see it, Christ in me, the hope. So anytime I pick my phone, that's what I see. What am I going to say? If you get a scripture, remember my scripture, Isaiah 66, verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Once in a while, I remember it, and I release a few lines. The angels that bring supplies, they know they have to walk. That word cannot fail. You hear what I said? It cannot fail. So when you discover a scripture, that's your own personal medicine. When you wake up in the morning, take 2 tablets. Oh God, look, I'll get to my message in a moment, but I think we should discuss this thing. You know the way life is? If they tell you you are sick, they give you medicine to take every day. And people take it every day. They keep appointment. Doctor says, see me every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, what do? We go and see the doctor. Listen, God said to them, I'm the Lord, the way most translations say it, the Lord that healed thee. The prince said, literally he meant, I am Jehovah thy doctor. And I'm saying to you again today, he has prescriptions for you. Yes. Attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, they are life to those who find them. I told you, the one that you find is your medicine. He said, and medicine to all their flesh. Once you find the scripture, hold it. Take it every day. It will cure your diseases. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It will bring you out of poverty into prosperity.
Amen.
Listen, let me say it again. Don't be wasting your time trying to give and give so that you will prosper. You can give and give and become broke. Yes, I have my reason for saying it. It's scripture. The one that can never fail is the word of God. The seed is what?
The word of God.
The seed is what?
The word,
the word of God. You can never go to God to pray and say, God, I have given, it's time for breakthrough. No. It's the word that you have discovered that is your medicine for prosperity. Every giving that a child of God does is born of 2 things. One, love. I mean, if I have 20 naira and somebody needs just 2 naira and I love the person, I can part with it. That's basic. The second motivation is faith. I realize that 20 naira is not actually all that I have. I have more, even though you can't see it. I have more. Where that 20 naira came from, there's still plenty there. Those are the 2 reasons why Christians give. They don't give so that, this 20 naira is about to finish. Sweetheart, yes, husband, quickly rush to church, sow a seed so that I can become 50 naira. No, it's unnecessary. It is unnecessary. Somebody reported something to me the other day. They said that the person helped me preach. I said, leave that one that Pastor Frankie is saying. That if we don't do these things, how are we going to raise money to build the church? Anytime I hear it, I say, hey, I'm not surprised. It is preachers that don't like to hear me say it. The people of God, it's liberating. Yeah, for them it's liberating, so they don't mind hearing it. Giving is not by compulsion. If I don't give now, I won't prosper. That's compulsive giving. That's what the Bible calls by compulsion. Somebody is forcing you, putting pressure on you. No. In fact, you won't be blessed like that anyway. Because God doesn't like that kind of attitude. That's not, you don't understand that God is love. You think God is hard. That's your own interpretation of God. God is hard. He won't bless you like that. When the Bible talks about cheerful giving, let me say it to you again. Go and read my tract, Cheerful Giver. A cheerful giver is not just the person who dances. The person just love dancing. Anytime God describes something, that description is of the heart. Because as a rule, God does not look outside. He always looks at the heart. God does not see as man sees. So you can be dancing outside, man sees that. What God is really seeing is how the heart is responding. It is the heart of faith. That is what makes somebody a cheerful giver. If I give money, maybe all I have is 1,000 naira, and I give the 1,000 naira. So, you're not afraid? Why? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And it's already night, so the day has ended. Let that 1,000 naira go. It's enough for that day. You understand my point? Yeah, that money is enough. Just use this as an illustration. That's faith now, as an illustration, all right? I told this story before. Once I was traveling back to Nigeria, I used Emirates. So I was in Dubai duty-free. For certain reasons, I was there for a very long time, all right? Let me not go into that, the reason. But then after I checked in you're just my carry-on and my passport in my hand, nothing else to do. I checked my purse. I had $100 left. So I went to the counter and bought my wife a gold drink. I remember it was $85, so they gave me $15 change, put them for pocket. Why did I do that? I said, the journey has ended. The next time I touch down, I'm at home. And my wife is going to be waiting with my friends at the airport to receive me. I won't need money again. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. That is, I understood that this $100, sufficient unto the journey, at the dollars thereof. So that $100 remaining, I didn't need it again. In the same manner, we Christians are not afraid to give because we are not thinking that what will not happen tomorrow. Tomorrow, God, you know, remember my wife waiting for me? God, the angels, they are there waiting in that tomorrow. He's the same God. You know, let's start from yesterday. Yesterday, today, and forever. So he's the same God tomorrow. What that literally means that whatever he can do today, he can still do it tomorrow. And while you are in today, he has already gone ahead into tomorrow and is waiting for you, for your plane to land in tomorrow. You don't need to carry the money of yesterday and say, hey, I don't know whether you're getting it, the way I'm working that one out there. That is why Christians give. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. One day I told a friend of mine, I said, I want to buy a car. He said, what are you doing with a car? Why don't you build a house? I said, the price of a house and that of a car, they are too different. And I said, my life cannot enter pause because of a house. Are you getting my point? I said, listen, I must live my life normally while I'm doing those things. And I meant it. And I meant it. You know, when many years ago, I'll get into my message for today, all right? I'm just trying to emphasize why Christians, the Lord is good. You know, many years ago, my name is Bankole, all right, because if you understand the way it is, my father was building a house when I was born. The house is still there. And it's mine to maintain now. Just taking money from me, not really giving me anything more than just taking money out of my pocket. It's your father's house, you have to take care of it. All right, thank God for it, no problem. Then now, that one happened when I was a baby, so I can't remember. I grew up there, we just used to play in the house, we travel back to home, and then that's where we used to stay, and then the house is still there. It's still there. Nice house, still there. Many years after. But then in 1985, 87, my father was now building the house where we're living. That was in our hometown. And then, I don't know if you were old enough that time, you understand SAP. SAP now caught up with him while the house was halfway through construction. Oh my God. It wasn't easy. It was not easy. It was hard. I remember that 87 period. No, it was before it. Around 85. It was not easy. As young as I was then, that's where I'm going. I swore that will never happen to me. I said, this one? Why? Why doesn't it just pay rent where we are staying? And leave all this stress. That's just my attitude, though. I said, look, life has, now I'm using modern day words now, life has, everything has value, has a cost. That's only that I tell my wife all the time. When we're discussing, I say, look, when you're doing business, don't only cost naira and kobo, cost your stress. If you get high blood pressure and they give you modern drugs, you will know how much that stress is in Naira value. People go through all this stress. Why? You just have to own this thing. I have no problem with it. You can own it. But for me, what it is adding to my life must be much, much, much more than the stress is taking, you know, the stress is putting in my life, which is taking peace away from me. I valued it that time. I decided that for my father, it was a bad investment. Yes. And many of us today, we are like that. Say, one man want to die to buy a car. He said, listen, after 3 years of saving, oh, but I'm going to drink Coke. No, water will be good. You actually wanted the Coke. But, you know, the Coke costs money. The water is free. Why? You are saving money to buy motor. I have no problem with it. Cars are good, all right? They've been a tremendous blessing to my life. But then when you put the value that the car will deliver into your life, I am telling you, you have paid too much for it. Yes, you will have done well in life. Take your money. Enter a keke. Breeze will be blowing you, you know? You don't need to pay for AC, you know? Breeze will blow you. Then when you go out, you and your friends, you can buy suya. You just leave behind in pocket. Remember a friend of mine once, they said, buy groundnut. He said, he doesn't have money. So the other guy said, how much is this groundnut? The quarrel began in the vehicle. The guy brought his auntie's car. What was the issue? My friend was saving money to buy something. So he didn't have money to buy groundnut. Listen, that is too expensive. Are you getting my point? No, that is too expensive. That's wisdom for a lot of people. It's too expensive. You have to value the stress. So people will know that I'm a big man if you buy a car. You are pretending. I thank God I've been preaching for a very long time. People used to listen to me when I arrived there on an Okada. I'm not joking. Take a bike, come, they will still be blessed. And next time they will still call me to come back. The kind of car I came in didn't make any difference. When I met my wife, I didn't have it. Now, she married me without the car. Amen? And she's very happy she did. The Lord is good. Let's not talk about her. Let's talk about me. Will by killing myself to buy a car that time, will they have made her marry me more? Is that you marry or not marry? No, so. And she married me as soon as possible. Any woman that won't marry without your car, leave her alone. She was not sent by God. And in case she was sent by God, she has gone to Tarshish. She didn't come to Nineveh. Leave her alone. Listen, just let her go to Tarshish. She will enter into the water. The fish will swallow her. If she repents, she'll be vomited. If she does not repent, she'll be digested. Don't worry about it. But the woman sent to you will marry you. Amen?
Amen?
Guys, the woman sent to you, she will marry you. Amen?
Amen?
Don't buy a car to impress anybody. If you can buy it, fine. Are you getting my point? It's a good thing. But if you can't, don't worry about it. Life is in seasons. Men are in sizes. Bishop Oedipo said, live your size by time. The crucial thing about living your size by time is that you will survive until the next time when your season will have changed and your size will have become bigger.
Yes.
If you want to live the size of tomorrow today, you will die before tomorrow. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I saying? Why did I go into all of that? That is the value of faith.